The curve between realities is getting thin. Castor's artifact is whispering louder. Sarah's finally admitting Andromeda isn't just a bedtime story. And Vrshek is stalking the shadows with the patience of a dying predator. Tonight, we're stepping right up to the edge of the portal, where certainty buckles and the universe shows its teeth. You're listening to The Curvature Key. Let's begin.
Sarah approached the antique store at full sprint. The street was quiet, too quiet, and the open door ahead radiated scorched air, the aftershock of a portal opened without proper stabilizers. Her pulse accelerated. The book was in there. Castor was in there. She didn't hesitate. The door swung inward at her touch, and she stepped into the stillness, every sense keyed to violence. The musty scent of old paper and melted varnish hit her first, then the low hum of unstable artifact energy crackling from deeper inside. She moved past rows of shadowed shelves, listening. A voice, ragged, arrogant. Kren.
"Kill you first," he was saying, "and then I'll open the portal to Zarathian High Command, straight to the brain center. While they're stunned by the bond collapse, I'll strike. Their generals won't even have time to raise a shield."
Sarah's gut twisted. She stepped silently closer, her hand already on the charged pulse baton tucked behind her back.
"And when we return to this frozen, backward planet, I'll find your pretty little bodyguard. I'll pull her skin off in ribbons and hang it on the walls of this pathetic shop."
She turned the corner just in time to see it. Castor had the book, his hands wrapped around it, light rising from its pages again, no longer hostile but hesitant, trying to recognize him. Trying to decide. But the Kren had Castor, too. One thick gray arm wrapped around Castor's chest, the stolen knife from the gang pressed tight under his ribcage. The other hand gripped Castor's wrist, holding him halfway between salvation and slaughter. Sarah didn't shout. She moved. Across the floor in a blur, the baton snapped out with a soft electric pop and slammed full force into the Kren's spine. No time for drama, no speech, just a stunned grunt, like air crushed from lungs, and then the Kren collapsed sideways, twitching, the knife clattering harmlessly to the floor. Castor stumbled forward, breath ragged, the book still clutched in his hands. Sarah caught him before he hit the ground. For a long moment, they didn't speak. The only sound was the faint buzz of the Kren's nervous system convulsing from shock, and the quiet, rhythmic hum of the book as it slowly dimmed back into silence. Then Castor exhaled, long and shaky.
You came.
Of course I did.
He was going to...
I know. I've heard enough.
They looked down at the Kren's body. Not dead. Not yet. But Castor saw something in Sarah's eyes. She was considering it. And she didn't look very Zarathian right now. She looked human.
The Chamber of Seeing pulsed in silence. Soft amber light rippled across the crystalline walls. A visual echo of the unstable portal signature that had flared violently from the Earth sector moments before. Every member of the Zarathian High Command was present, seated in gravity-sculpted thrones that shimmered like liquid silver. Only one chair sat in stillness, empty. Triel Van, her voice calm but threaded with concern, spoke.
"Another search. That's the third this cycle. The artifact is active, dangerously so."
Elder strategist Vas Etherne, his copper-toned skin reflecting the room's light, folded long fingers together.
And Sarah disobeyed a direct command not to interfere.
Primary observer Rhys Meck shrugged.
She's young, compassionate, but not irrational. She's seen the Kren's intentions firsthand. I would have done the same.
It's not about intent. It's about risk. The artifact was never meant to sync with a human. The Tri-Helix bond was designed to interface with preconditioned agents, not unstable primates with hormone surges and academic delusions of grandeur.
Triel Van snapped. Across the room, Grand Historian Talis Bar said nothing. She rarely did, but today her gaze lingered on the hollow projection of Earth, rotating slowly in space, the unstable rift signature blinking like a wound near the North American quadrant.
It was never supposed to end up on Earth. Isn't that what you told us?
Vas Etherne said, looking toward her. Talis finally turned. Her eyes were glacier pale, and when she spoke, it was with perfect, passionless cadence.
The book does what it must. All portals find the strongest will. That is their nature.
Rhys Meck scoffed.
Spare us the prophecy.
No prophecy. Inevitability.
Her gaze shifted, just for a moment, toward a distant point no one else noticed. A scar across the timeline, a burn in memory, the moment the book was stolen. She had made it possible. She had ordered the security suppressors deactivated on Arc Vault 6-Delta. She had rerouted Zarathian scouts to a false emergency flare three systems away. She had allowed the Kren infiltrator to touch the book, because it was the only way. If the Kren unlocked portal tech, if they learned to stabilize rifts, the only safeguard left was extinction. Of both species, no Zarathians left alive. Without DNA to harvest or triple helix to replicate, no way for the Kren to become gods. This had been her oath since the day she joined the Oblivion Covenant, that sacred splinter faction who believed in mercy through annihilation. She would burn Zora to its roots if it meant stopping the fire from spreading. The human boy was an error, but perhaps not one beyond exploitation. Talis folded her hands, concealing the faint pulse of a neural trigger woven into her palm, a silent signal to the Covenant's hidden operatives headed to Earth. Then she spoke, her voice calm, diplomatic.
I move we issue a full recall order for Sarah Sudiznin. She's too emotionally compromised. The book's influence is unpredictable. The situation on Earth has become untenable.
I second the motion.
Triel Van quickly agreed. Vas Etherne hesitated. Rhys Meck frowned. The vote was unanimous. Talis allowed herself the smallest smile. Phase 2 had begun. The Kren lay unconscious and bound, slumped against the far wall of the antique store's back room. The scent of scorched ozone and copper hung in the air like a leftover storm. Caster leaned forward on the cracked workbench, palms pressed flat, trying to catch his breath. The book sat before him, pulsing faintly, as if it too had nearly been spent. Sarah stood nearby, arms crossed, scanning the Kren's unconscious form. Her normally alert posture slumped slightly at the shoulders. The fight had been close. Too close. 1 second slower, and Caster would have been dragged through the portal, a passenger on a one-way trip to Zarathian High Command, used as bait in a suicide mission. Whew, that was too close, Caster muttered. Sarah nodded.
I was just thinking that. He used the book against its will. That drains everything, even him.
It didn't want to go?
Not with him. The book isn't just a tool. It has memory, will, preference.
She paused, then softened.
It's chosen you, Castor.
It doesn't mean I understand any of this. Every time I hold it, it shows me more visions. This time it told me I could be a leader, that I could change everything.
The book manipulates to get its way, even with you. Don't trust everything it shows you.
Sarah's gaze sharpened as a beat of silence passed before Castor added,
I think I've seen her, the Viking woman, in the visions. She's familiar, like someone I should know.
You're remembering her? From hundreds of years ago?
I think so. Bits and pieces. Like blood memory.
Sarah looked conflicted. Then her wrist communicator pulsed. She stared at the device. Her mouth turned into an almost sneer.
I'm not going anywhere,
she said quietly, then tapped it off. Castor gave her a look.
Friends of yours? They know what happened?
The Council. They will. But something's not right, Castor. The way the book ended up here. The way it bonded to you, outside protocol. This isn't a coincidence.
She glanced down at the unconscious Kren again.
This was engineered.
Somewhere in the outer belt of the solar system, hidden deep inside the carcass of a derelict mining freighter, two figures sat in dim violet light. Their forms shimmered faintly, human in structure but altered. Their eyes glowed faintly silver, reflecting the hologram suspended between them. The transmission finished. The book's signal signature blinked once more in a spiral glyph only the Oblivion Covenant could read.
There, coordinates confirmed. It's reactivated.
The other nodded.
Took long enough. Estimated jump time?
12 hours, give or take. Local gravity wells will slow us.
She paused.
And the Zarathian agent?
The first operative grinned faintly.
Still interfering. But the recall order's issued. Once she's out of the way.
We retrieve the artifact, we complete the cycle, and if we're lucky, we end their kind.
They began powering up their transport, a slip drive-equipped vessel built from Zarathian salvage, laced with stolen Kren engineering. A monstrosity, a hunter's blade. Oblivion was on the move. Engineered. The word kept floating around inside Castor's head, bumping into his conscience with every other thought. He looked at the bed where Sarah slept. She'd insisted on not only accompanying him back to his apartment, but staying with him in case the Kren returned. He was too wired to sleep, though he was as close to exhausted as he'd ever felt. He grabbed the book on impulse and sat down on the couch. It began the same way, a subtle vibration under his ribs, then a cold current rushing through his chest, like breath held too long. The room warped around him, colors draining into brilliant whites and inky shadows. His fingers brushed the book, and the world tilted. When the light returned, he stood on snow-covered earth. A fjord stretched behind him, frozen mid-thaw. A cluster of thatched huts hugged the coastline, smoke rising in curling spirals from their vents. The air was sharp, biting, clean. Castor's breath came out in plumes, but he wasn't cold. A figure stood atop a nearby hill, tall, broad-shouldered, hair like silvered fire braided over a cloak of furs. She turned. Her eyes were his. Her voice was smooth granite, ancient, but warm.
You came back. I'm so glad. It's almost time, Castor.
He took a step closer, disoriented.
Who are you, really? I feel like we know each other.
In one life, I was a scientist, until I was betrayed by those I trusted. In this life, I am Freydis Hallgrímsdóttir, once I decided to stay here anyway.
She gestured at the coastline and the longhouses. She looked to the sky.
Then I bonded with the book. In that life, I am the first guardian of the artifact.
She took both his hands in hers, softly and warmly. Castor felt no fear.
And in both, we are blood, Castor. We are clan.
Castor stared. His brain was doing somersaults, trying to process that statement. For now, it failed. He blurted out,
"You were bonded to the book."
She nodded, her smile widening as she lightly shook both his arms.
"Ah, yes. I am bonded to Rel. When we first came to Earth, I was part of the team studying it on Zora. It spoke to me, guided me. We found no one here to rescue, but together, we're opening paths Earth's ancients never dreamed of."
The book materialized between them, hovering slightly, glyphs running along its edges like water over stone. Castor heard it speak in his head.
"Freydis was the first." The voice calm and strangely reverent. "A warrior. A visionary. You are her echo."
Castor shook his hands free and folded his arms.
"So what? You two showing me my DNA report? Telling me I'm special?"
Freydis reached out and pried his hand from under his crossed arms. She was so strong.
"No, Castor. You're more than special. It's saying you're chosen. Not just by clan, but by temperament. You hesitate. You think before acting. You ask questions. The book likes that. That is from my blood in you."
Castor heard the artifact chime in. "You resist domination. That makes you suitable."
"Suitable for what?"
Freydis raised a hand.
"The edge of the blade, Castor. To guide what's left of this galaxy through the coming storm."
"Storm? I'm just a guy who fixes clocks and gets nosebleeds from alien artifacts."
"No, you're more. You're its fulcrum. The book doesn't choose at random. It has waited until this moment to reassert itself."
She whispered. Her jaw set, and anger flared behind her gray silver eyes.
"And now that the Kren has touched it, now that oblivion stirs, your role is urgent."
He squeezed her hands as hard as he could. She didn't seem to notice.
"Oblivion? Your blood? Fulcrum? Guide the galaxy? Why do all the women I meet talk like that? I should just make Sarah take the book away."
"No, you must not. I cannot quite focus on her, but I feel her clan is tainted. Do not trust her."
Before Castor could ask what that meant, the book pulsed. "He is at a threshold. Show him what may come." Freydis nodded.
"Yes, he must know."
Suddenly, visions swept across the sky above them like clouds. Earth cities burning, torn by portals gone wild. The Kren everywhere, unleashing war beasts through rifts torn in space. Zorathians turning on one another in orbit over Jupiter. A future where Castor stood at the helm of something new. Not a kingdom, but a coalition. He heard Freydis's soft, smooth voice. A voice that just made you want to believe.
"You can stop all of it, but you must trust the artifact. Work together with it. It is the only way."
Castor stepped back, overwhelmed.
"I'm not ready."
She smiled faintly.
"You are. All feel the way you do at first. But you're not alone. The girl knows more than you realize. She and her clan taint must be removed. Then the book will never break its bond with you."
The visions faded. The snow began to fall. Freydis reached forward,
her hand ghosting against his chest.
No, wait. I have so many questions.
Her biggest smile returned.
Remember who you come from, Sonar Sonar.
The light returned. Castor gasped awake on the couch, hand clutched to his chest. Sarah's voice came from the other room.
Castor, are you...
He stood, shaken but steadier than before.
Yeah, I'm okay, and I'm ready.
The artifact keeps reshaping Castor. Sarah's past is cracking open, and every choice they dodge only sharpens the danger waiting for them. The stars on the other side are calling, but so is Vershek, patient, lethal, and inches closer than anyone wants to admit. Thanks for listening to Curvature Key. Please like and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, keep your eyes on the curve.